defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Well, Ed and Lorraine Warren, billed as the world's most famous demonologists, have hit the prime time once again as a result of the blockbuster movie Conjuring, which is certainly hitting everybody's consciousness, it seems. In books and movies, they have, over the years, told lurid tales of mysterious bathroom markings, demonic beings that could scratch and claw their victims, and they've even recast the incubi and succubi of medieval mythology in contemporary prose. According to the Warrens, these male and female sexual demons frequented the homes of middle-class Americans and pillaged women and pleasured men. The question is their view of spiritual warfare biblical? And the answer is no. In fact, I am surprised that so many commentators, so many who have done reviews on that particular movie and the works of Ed and Lorraine Warren in general, have deemed it to be thoroughly biblical. And yet it is anything but that. Spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective was waged against invisible beings that personify the extremities of evil, but their weapons are spiritual, not physical. And while they cannot bite us physically, violate us sexually, or cause us to levitate, they can cause us or tempt us to cheat and to steal and to lie. A biblical view of spiritual warfare is available in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it online at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants there standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Robert, Aztec, New Mexico, listening on KTGW. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
That's good. But before I ask the question, I want to thank you for taking my call last September. I don't know if you remember, I called you and was talking to you about my step-granddaughter that was put into a coma by her biological father at 5 years old. And they were talking about pulling the plug and letting her go, and you informed me the biblical reasons why not to do that. And make a long story short, we didn't do that. Went down, prayed for her, and prayed for her healing. I left the country for 5 weeks. When I came back, she was awake.
Oh, my goodness.
Praise God.
Blessings to the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful testimony.
Yes. Anyway, to my question, can Satan, the enemy, physically make a person sick with illnesses or diseases?
You know, that's a good question, and the answer to that question is simply that Satan cannot interact in the physical world. He's non-physical, but when someone gives themselves over to the Prince of Darkness and his minions, there are consequences, and those consequences can manifest not only physically, but metaphysically. So to the extent that you give yourself over to the principles of the Prince of Darkness, you suffer the consequences. Now, we can't always tell where the consequences come from, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, but we know that there are consequences, and again, those consequences can often be physical. By the way, by way of analogy, we even know this from the perspective of taking communion in an unworthy manner. Paul gives strict instructions with respect to communion, and he says, if they're not followed, some of you have gotten sick, and Some of you have even died. So there are consequences to sin, and sin, of course, is manifest in the extreme when we give ourselves over to the Prince of Darkness and his principles.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I've been a Christian since 2002, and you know, I've had all kinds of problems before as a Christian, but I'm still having problems as we speak. So, but I just think myself is just God is allowing this to happen for a reason. I don't ask Him why. All I ask is for Him to walk me through these storms.
Yeah, and that's a wise thing to do, because Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. What it does instead is gives us a way to overcome them or to have peace in the midst of them by looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, where there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Also, I think wise that you recognize that God doesn't always answer the why question. What He does is He teaches us to trust Him in the midst of our whys. So He's given us enough information about His nature so that we can trust Him. One day, all our whys will be answered, but not necessarily so in this lifetime.
Yeah, and a lot of our whys we won't care about then, because we'll be with Him. So, all righty, Hank. God bless you, brother, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that wonderful testimony. Made my day.
Absolutely. I think that's my first miracle that I've seen.
Glorious.
We'll see you, brother.
Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charles in Windsor, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charles.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
That's good. I have a question. I was on a few months ago. I've been ministering to the last time I talked to you, you need to conversate with them, but to minister to them. So that's what I'm doing. I have a question in regard to when family members die and they are heaven bound once they meet in heaven. Are they still part of that family? Structure, is my wife still my wife? And if so or if not, would I find that in the Bible?
Yeah, well, it's very clear that in heaven, we're neither married nor are we given in marriage. In fact, we are told that we will be like the angels. So we won't marry, we won't be given in marriage, but that does not mean that we will not have relationships. We will indeed have relationships, and those relationships will exceed anything that we can imagine in this time-space continuum. So my relationship to my wife will be different, but it will be different in the sense of better, and better in the sense of something that I can't now even conceive of. The same thing is true with other familial relationships. They will be enhanced exponentially because in heaven, we will be able to love in such a way that our love is no longer impugned in any sense by the sin nature. We will be free from sin, and therefore, we'll be able to relate to one another in a way that is agape-driven, not driven by selfish proclivities, but rather by selfless proclivities. So again, no marriage in heaven, but what we will anticipate in our relationships far exceeds our wildest imaginations. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Karen, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen.
And your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have been speaking with some Jehovah Witness people who stop by my house, and now they've been coming about once a week, so I've been sharing Jesus with them. And I know you've addressed this a lot before, and I seem to just miss your answer right as I'm driving home from work. Is there, like, one thing I can say that would give them this light bulb experience so they'll know what I'm trying to share with them?
Well, not necessarily, but you can be an effective witness. And I think what's critical is that we are ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. So my premise is that the real issue is not evangelism, but equipping for evangelism. If you're prepared, God will give you opportunities. Your responsibility is to be an effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It is the province of the Holy Spirit to change the heart. Now, in terms of effectiveness with respect to Jehovah's Witnesses, I think it's important to start with the main and plain things, and there's nothing more main and plain than the nature of Jesus Christ. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So you should start with the mother of all questions, and that is, who do you say that I am? From a biblical perspective, Jesus is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He is the creator of all things. From the perspective of the watchtower, Jesus Christ was himself created and then becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. In fact, from a perspective of the witnesses, even during his earthly sojourn, Jesus Christ wasn't even God. So he was the archangel Michael. He became a mere man, and then after his death, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So you want to stick with that subject first and not go off on a lot of rabbit trails. But what I like to do is to use the acronym doctrine whenever I witness to people involved in the kingdom of the cults. And the reason is that way I can take the essentials of the historic Christian faith and use them as springboards for countering the deviations, or using them to take the deviations as an opportunity for sharing the truth and grace and love that only Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, can bring to the human heart. That acronym, by the way, has to do with the deity of Jesus Christ, the D. The O is the doctrine of original sin. The C is the canon. The question there becomes, what is your authority? We say the authority is the Christian canon, the Bible, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. For the Watchtower organization, it is the Watchtower. And their mistranslation of the Bible, the New World Translation. And then the T stands for Trinity, the R, Resurrection, the I, Incarnation, the N, New Creation, we're new creations in Christ, and the E, the biblical view of eschatology, the fact that Jesus will appear a second time and put all things to right. So that's the grid I use. I take essential Christian doctrine, and then I compare that with the deviations of the Watchtower organization in this case.
Okay. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Alan. He's listening in Kansas on KARF. Hi, Alan.
Hey, hello there. Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
Hey, I've got a question. As you know, a lot of the movies that come out on TV and at the movie theater, to me, they seemed awful satanic. Can a person that's unsaved allow a demon to come inside of them by watching these movies like The Conjuring and other movies? And then also reverse that question, can a person that's saved allow a demon to come inside of them by watching those type of movies? I wouldn't think a saved person would even be watching those, but that is my question.
Yeah, well, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have an intimate personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Holy Spirit indwells you. In other words, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore your temple will never be shared with a demon. Now, it is certainly true that demons can tempt you to lie, to cheat, to steal. They do, as it were, sit on our shoulders and whisper into our ears. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it certainly can penetrate the ear of the mind. As I said on the Blaze cast with Scott Baker earlier today, we're talking about this very subject. I was communicating how, in fact, you can, with respect to The Conjuring, be impacted by bad theology, but it's not as though you can be possessed by by a demon. Jesus makes an airtight case against that. If someone wants to plunder a strong man's possessions, he has to first bind the strong man. In the case of a believer, the strong man is the Holy Spirit, or God himself, who indwells you, and perish the thought that Satan could ever bind God. So as Christians, you cannot be demon-possessed, but as a non-believer, you can give yourself over more and more progressively to the ways of the kingdom of darkness. Ultimately, from a biblical perspective, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And to the extent that you develop intimacy with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you become a light. You become ever more a light bearer. But the opposite is true with respect to the kingdom of darkness. To the extent that you give yourself over to those principles, you become more and more impacted by Satan's kingdom. And you could say you are more and more possessed of Satan in that sense. I've written about this in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. God's plan is never exorcism. It's always exercising the spiritual disciplines, putting on the full armor of God. Be right back with more answers.
Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast you're listening to right now is made possible by the generosity of friends like you? That means your support truly matters. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation with a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham. Secure helps you discover how you can experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request Secure now. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book. Now the Creation Answer book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio.
and secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. But in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, noted Christian counselor Ellen Dykus helps women find sexual sanity through the wise, unashamed, bold teaching of the Bible. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and a couple of announcements, and then we'll go right back to our callers to get your question answered live on air today. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, as always, translates to 888-275-4265. Do want to mention that I'm going to be speaking this weekend in Utah. First, at the Summer Vision Banquet for Utah Partnerships for Christ in AM 820, that banquet this Saturday, 6 to 8. You can get more details on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And then I'll be speaking Sunday at several campuses of the South Mountain Community Church in Utah. So I'll be speaking three times Sunday morning. All of that coming up in Utah. Again, you can get more information on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also want to mention that I'm going to be speaking at Christ Community Church in Pinehurst, North Carolina, Wednesday, August 14th. That'll be from 7 to 8:30, and I'll be speaking on the topic of universalism. Do all paths lead to God? For more information, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And also, the Christian Research Journal was mentioned just before I came back on live. Do remember, you can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and enter the special offer code SUMMER and receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free, plus reduced price on your subscription. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim, Kansas City, Missouri. Tim's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Tim.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question. It's in the Gospel of John, fourth chapter. The Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus, the conversation. And in verse 12, she responds to Jesus and says, "You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you?" So my question is, since Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything, I guess they looked down on the Samaritans, she calls Jacob her father. So didn't the Jews call Jacob their father also?
Well, yeah, but there's a lineage there that is recognized by the Samaritans as well as by the Jews. Remember, the Samaritans are a function of the northern kingdom decimated by the Assyrians, and some of the Samaritans or the Jews were left in the land, and they intermarried with the Assyrians that were brought into the northern kingdom, and that became the Samaritans. So those would also be a people looking back to Jacob as their father, although rather than worshiping in a temple in Jerusalem, they concluded that Mount Gerizim was the proper place for worship.
And Mount Gerizim is closer to Samaria, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was their place of worship, their preferential place of worship. But again, the lineage is traced back in the same way by the Samaritans. The Samaritans were looked down at because they were considered to be, as it were, half-breeds, and therefore they're oftentimes demeaned as being dogs and the like. But the reality is they themselves traced their lineage back to Jacob because they intermarried with the Syrians, but still had that lineage or genealogical relationship.
Okay, good. That was it. Great. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Travis next, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Travis.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Good, thank you.
All right, so this is a little long-winded, so I hope that's okay. But I want to preface what I'm about to say by letting you know how much I love CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I honestly look forward to listening to you every day on the drive home from work. And I just wanted to make that clear so no one gets the wrong idea, because I am going to challenge something that you said to me on your broadcast last week, which is this idea that we need to earn the right to share the gospel with someone. And as I thought about it throughout the week, I couldn't just think of any, you know, scriptural support this notion had. So just let me run through some things that I thought of through the week. First, I agree with many things that you did say, namely that we aren't called to be running around asking people if they are saved. You used grabbing them by the lapels, which was funny. But second, that much of evangelism does include being relational, and to your credit, you did say that a relationship doesn't need to be built up for months. It can be done rather quickly. So I do agree there, but there are a few reasons why I feel like I disagree. And number one is that we are already commanded by Jesus, our Lord and God, to preach the gospel. Why would we need to earn that right when we've been given it by Jesus?
Well, I'm talking about effectiveness, though. Certainly, you can share the gospel, and you're commanded to share the gospel, but I'm talking about effectiveness in communicating as relational beings. To simply start communicating the gospel without building a relationship is not as effective as developing a relationship that earns you, as it were, the right to communicate. When you build a relationship, people are willing to listen to what you have to say. That's my only point. It's a matter of effectiveness.
Right, because my main concern was, and I've gone through this in my own mind, and I've read a few different things on it, and some people have dubbed it a friendship evangelism, where people, you know, get into friendships and relationships to share the gospel, but then by the time they feel comfortable enough, they end up feeling uncomfortable because they don't want to lose that friendship, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not talking about being manipulative. I'm simply talking about being effective, because remember, we're not called to make conversions. We're called to make disciples. A disciple is a learner or follower of Jesus Christ. So it's not just the imputation of Christ's life, it's the impartation of the life of Christ, which is to say it's not a mental head trip. It is more than that. It is communicating that those who follow Christ become the apprentices of Christ, and they take up their cross and daily follow Him. So my general way of teaching people to share the gospel is first build a relationship with a person so that you can communicate as a relational being one with the other. Then you use the bridge of of that relationship as an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. Then you should be prepared to lead someone in a response to the gospel, because most unbelievers who are now responding to the gospel won't know how to do that. So you kind of have to help them through that and know how to do that, and then take them through the basic steps of discipleship and growth as a new believer. So that's a pattern, but is that pattern inviolate? Must it always be followed? Of course not. If someone has one foot on a banana peel and the other in the grave, I would say that you get to the point rather quickly. I'm simply talking about a manner in which you relate to another human being, not manipulatively, but as an opportunity to share the gospel. And that's why effective evangelism almost always takes place within a certain community where you know someone, where you meet someone at work, or you have a relationship, and then you can share the gospel as one person who has found water to another person that's thirsty. But is this principle inviolate? No, I'm simply saying this is an effective way of communicating the gospel.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And then my third kind of point was, and this, I still want to ask this, is how would you use this in light of, you know, open-air preaching or tracting? Like, do you find those as effective means, or would you personally prefer to stay away from that sort of evangelism?
Well, I don't want to make a statement on that, because it may be that someone feels called to do that, but a lot of what I have seen with open-air preaching is that it is deflective, which is to say that a lot of people are turned off from the gospel or galvanized against the gospel because of the manner in which it's done. Remember, we're called to do what we do as followers of Jesus Christ with gentleness and with respect. So as long as that principle or premise is followed, if someone is called to open-air preaching, certainly they should follow that calling from the Lord.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. The large majority of what I've seen has been unbiblical, and you know, that's part of what draws me to that sort of evangelism, is to be that biblical representation out there on the streets. I'm not sure if that's my calling, but it's just something that I've been working through.
Well, wonderful. And Travis, I appreciate you calling up and challenging me. I think this is a good object lesson. We should take what we hear, regardless of the platform that a person has, and test everything in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. So this is a wonderful role model that you've provided for people, and you did it with gentleness and with respect, and I deeply appreciate you modeling that.
Oh, well, thank you. I wasn't sure if I might come off as confrontational, but I'm glad that we had this exchange. So thank you.
You got it, Travis. May God bless your ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jeff in Union, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Paul said something, I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, if your stomach ails you, have a glass of wine. With all the new laws being passed in different states, I'm referring to medical marijuana, I assume eventually it's going to be recreational. What I'm asking is should it be treated in the same manner, you know, to smoke to relax once it is passed, but not to get totally obliterated to where you're, you know, over the edge?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really critical in these kinds of situations is to recognize that we are to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. And so in Proverbs, for example, gluttony and wine bibbing are conjoined. We shouldn't be a glutton. We shouldn't be a wine bibber. Why? Because we should take care of the temple of the Lord, both from the physical and the metaphysical perspective. From the standpoint of marijuana, it can cause you to be in an altered state of consciousness where you do things that you wouldn't normally do, and that's the danger in it. But there are many other dangers, whether or not it is legalized or becomes politically correct or not. There are still inherent dangers, dependence and respiratory illness and poor motor skill performance, mental illness, impaired cognitive function, a distorted perception. It can cause problems with learning and memory. So there are a lot of side effects that should be considered, again, even if it is being legalized in various states. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I do think we have some literature on this, either in the Christian Research Journal articles that have already run or in forthcoming articles in the Christian Research Journal. This is going to be a big subject in the years to come. Very important question that you asked. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time is always the number to dial to get your question answered live? 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back with more answers.
Every truth seeker has questions, and CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are here to help you find the answers you need. But each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through friends like you to produce broadcasts and resources you can trust. And that's why we'd like to thank you for your donation today by sending you Rick Dunham's book, Secure, a powerful resource to help you discover real peace and security through Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI to request your copy now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book. Now the Creation Answer book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. For the past century, the Western world has become increasingly secular and post-Christian. This is often attributed to increasing education and prosperity. But the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal will provide you with an abundance of data that suggests the opposite and points to a very different, more surprising explanation. To learn more, start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to mention a special offer package that we put together just last week, which is on the Creation Answer Book, one of my latest books, as well as a special Origins edition of the Christian Research Journal. These resources will equip you with respect to what I call not a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. If you think that you're a function of blind chance, that your life is guided fatalistically by brain chemistry and genetics, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know You are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. This package will equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by. That number, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Cecile in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WHVN. Hi, Cecile.
Hi, hey. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I spoke to the receptionist a minute ago. I think he misunderstood me. He was pretty upset about the question I'm going to ask, and I don't want you to take me the wrong way. But there's a portion in Genesis where it talks about the sons of, and forgive me, I don't have the Bible right in front of me, but it talks about the sons of God finding the daughters of men attractive. And then it talks about some sort of giants or Nephrodites, I think is the word that they use, being existent on the earth. So I just wanted to hear what your perspective was as far as what you think that meant. Some theories that I've heard are that, you know, possibly Hercules and Zeus and all those Greek mythological gods might be a production of what Genesis is talking about. But I just wanted to hear what your thoughts are.
No, this has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is judgment that comes as a result of the iniquity of humanity, and therefore you have within the context of Genesis chapter 6 the notion of judgment through the flood. A lot of people take sons of God and read all kinds of untoward meanings into that phrase. And the reason is they violate a basic principle in the art and science of biblical interpretation. What they do is they take a word or a phrase and they always pour the same meaning into that word or phrase. And that's not how we should read the Bible. Words and phrases in the Bible are not univocal. They are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So what you have, and I've actually written about that this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but what you have here is the commingling of godlessness from the progeny of Seth and the progeny of Cain. And as a result of that, you have iniquity multiplying in the world such that God decides in His own providence and for His own sovereign purposes to destroy the world with a flood and to start over, as it were, with the eight who are saved in the midst of the waters of the flood.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's just been something that I've been struggling with, and I just wanted to hear your opinion on that. And again, thank you for taking my call.
You are entirely welcome. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert in Jacksonville, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, my question was the seventh day, the Sabbath day, would be on a Saturday. So why would most worship be done on Sunday?
Well, because we recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is in His resurrection that we find our Sabbath rest. And that's why the early Christian church changed the day of worship. It is to place the proper emphasis where it ought to be, because from the perspective of the early Christian church, the most dangerous snare is to fail to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the type and the shadow. And again, it is through Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. It was through His resurrection on the first day of the week and the descent of the Holy Spirit that the impetus in terms of the flow changes to the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection. And again, we're not called to be slavishly bound to Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws. I mean, if we were, anyone that did any work on the Sabbath would have to be a stoned to death. But these laws are abrogated because they pointed to something, and that something, indeed, that someone has come and fulfilled everything that came before. And therefore, he is the one that didn't abolish the law and the prophets, but fulfills them. In honor of his fulfillment, we worship on the first day of the week.
Gotcha. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mark is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You were talking about the demons not being able to manifest inside humans. But my sister had went to a birthday party, and she only knew the girl that she went with. And they had a medium or whatever it was there, and talking to the dead, and the lady stopped, did not know my sister at all, walked up to her and said, you have a brother that was close, then he was way out, and now he's back, and that was me. And that she knew she was talking about it and didn't know anything about me. Then she says, your dad's name was Bill, and she started talking to him, and she said he was sobbing and saying that he was sorry he was never there for me and all this, which is dead on. And my sister never seen these people, so she couldn't have given them any information. And I wonder what you... It's really got me baffled. I really don't believe in that stuff.
Right. Well, you know, this is what's called cold reading. And good mediums, good stage hypnotists, good magicians do it all the time. And I mean, over the years, I've had good friends who were very adept at these things, you know, just for the fun of it, I'd have them do some cold reading on my children, who would be so freaked out they'd say, "No one could have known that about me," and they don't realize that they were telegraphing things about themselves in various ways. But sometimes the medium or the stage hypnotist or the magician does some research ahead of time. That's another possibility. I can't unravel every anecdote, but I can tell you that it is sleight of mind, very much in the same way that a magician does sleight of hand. And when you see the sleight of hand, if you don't know how the trick works, you think it is impossible. You know, someone takes a dollar bill, you look at the serial number on it, then they rip it right in front of your eyes, so to speak, and then they put it back together again. How in the world's that possible? Well, trust me, I know exactly how it's done, and it is sleight of hand. You think that it's miraculous, but you kind of intuitively know that it's not. This is the same thing that's going on with mediums. I can't, again, unpack every anecdote, but I can tell you that's the basic principle.
Okay, so there's, because I've heard before that it was like demonic angels coming in, black arts and all that, allowing them to do that.
No, it's not really what's going on at all. You know, Satan cannot read your mind. He can influence your thoughts. But and by the way, the thing that I said earlier, just for a quick clarification, I'm not saying that people cannot be possessed. I'm saying that Christians cannot be possessed because by definition, their temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was wondering where Jesus cast out the demons of the man. They wanted to go in the pig.
Right. But remember that what Jesus did is a category of one. His disciples were also attested to by these kinds of exorcisms and miracles. But this is not what we're called to do. If you look at the narratives in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels and the Book of Acts, these are narratives that attest to who Jesus Christ is as the cornerstone of the church and what the foundation is laid of in terms of the apostles. And therefore, we can test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. But nowhere in the didactic or teaching passages of Scripture are we told to do an exorcism. What we're told to do is put on the full armor of God, to exercise spiritual disciplines or living disciplines or life practices so that we might emulate as apprentices the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But we cannot do what Christ did. We can't atone for the sins of the world, nor can we have the power encounters that he did with Satan.
Right. Okay. Well, great. That helps a lot, Dan. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jennifer in Jefferson City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I had a question about possession. You're saying that Christians can't be possessed by Satan or by demons, right?
That's correct. They can be influenced. As I said, a demon can tempt someone through mind-to-mind communication, but they cannot possess a believer, because a believer, by definition, is possessed of God. Their temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I just don't understand how you're saying that, because my family, my entire family, is firm believers in God, and we're all Christians, and they have been for forever, like as long as I can remember. But my aunt, when I was 9 years old, my aunt was possessed by a demon, according to my entire family, and I believe it because I went to her house one night with my mom, and I'm sorry, it's really hard to talk about it. She was screaming through the house, like she was in a bedroom screaming in tongues, and I couldn't understand what she was saying because it wasn't English. And she had her hands up in the air like she was praying to God. And she was so loud, I went in there and I was like, I'm going to fall over because you're so loud, you know, like I couldn't take the screaming. And she said, no, you're not. God's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up.
Jennifer, I don't mean to be insensitive, but I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We can have someone talk to you off air if you would like. I can't unpack every single anecdote or experience, but I can give you this testimony that we as Christians are called to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. Experiences are notoriously unreliable, and therefore they need to be tested. Going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in for the next hour, you can call 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll continue answering questions.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the Internet, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book. Now the Creation Answer book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.